This is Sportscaster.com's Open Mic with Johnny Kane on 760 WJR, featuring sports commentary and stories brought to you by the most compelling rising stars in sports broadcasting. Here's your host, Johnny Kane.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, September the 10th. I'm Johnny Kane. This is Open Mic, week two of the NFL season, week two of college football season, week three of the high school football season, and the final month of the regular season in Major League Baseball. An incredible time of year for those of us who are fortunate to cover sports, and just as incredible for sports fans, no question. You know, this show is all about highlighting the next wave of sports broadcasters who are coming up. And we talk about stories and the issues in sports that matter to all of us. And one of the driving themes that we've touched on this program is name, image, and likeness, and how those policies have, you know, changed how we qualify what a student athlete is. And the initial NIL policies, you know, they were introduced back in 2021. But the more recent shift in July of this year, where the settlement was reached, where schools can now pay the athletes directly, that's really what we want to focus on tonight, and at least for the next couple of segments here on the show. And I want to bring in one of our Sportscaster.com contributors, Cooper Schoenberg, a college student at Indiana University. Cooper, thanks for being back on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, and what a time to be alive. We got Lions, we got Tigers, we got the Hoosiers. It's a fun time. I like that intro.
Yeah, we do have the Hoosiers. Yeah, one thing I like about you is you always bring the energy. So that's something we're going to need here.
You have to.
You know, the thing about when we talk about NIL, you know, we've used that terminology so much, but it has shifted how college athletics are perceived, and not even perceived, but just how they operate. So I'm just curious from your standpoint, first off, like, because you are a student, and maybe not a scholarship athlete, but I'll still give you some credit for being an athlete. What is a typical day or week like as a student athlete at a Big Ten university like IU, who's not receiving any type of per diem or allowance? You know, you're just a student, right? So not just, but you understand, like, what is it like just for someone like you trying to navigate your way as an aspiring sports broadcaster at a Big Ten school?
You know, for me, it might be a little different. As a senior, I'd say you have a lot more privileges and a lot more opportunities to have some fun for sure. But it's a great time here, just enjoying every moment. You know, you go through the motions in your day-to-day operations, be it, you know, wake up, make your bed, eat some breakfast, and then go to class. For me, that takes place around anywhere between 11 to 2 p.m. Monday through Thursday. Now, thank God, I don't got no class on Friday, so that's awesome. But as soon as class is over, I like to try to get into a routine. You know, I got to bulk up a little bit for the winter months coming, got to stay warm. And so that means making a little chow and then try to go to the gym, got to get my reps in. And then after, I think the most important thing for anybody in school, anybody in college, is you can put all this pressure on yourself to be a part of extracurriculars and to do good in school, which is all very important. But what I find to be most important is that give and take. Go out, have fun, be with your friends, call the family. And for me, here at Indiana, the main road is Kirkwood. And I am fortunate enough, not going to dox myself, but I'm living right almost on that main road. And so, you know, sun sets, night is upon us. It's a good opportunity to gang up with the fellas, go out on the town, have a little fun, maybe go out to eat, watch the game at a bar. And that's kind of the whole Monday through Friday gist. Once it comes to the weekend, well, Saturday's different, where I remember freshman and sophomore year, we were a nothing program in the football world. Finally, we get Coach Signetti. Last year was something I've never seen in that current 3 years that I attended Indiana, where we used to wake up 1 o'clock on a Saturday after being out so late on Friday, because who cared if the game kicked off at noon? Well, now it's waking up at 6 a.m., you're going to breakfast club at the bars, you're getting into what you almost see in Ann Arbor, which is tailgate, 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 and it's electric. And once you're done with that, head over to Memorial Stadium. It's a packed house. It gets rocking. It's a great environment and atmosphere, and it's one to reckon with in this new college football landscape. And once that game's over, maybe you hit a nap, maybe you get some downtime in you, gear up for Saturday night, and then you're just rotting on the couch on Sunday, enjoying whatever NFL team, go Lions, of course, you root for. And that's pretty much the typical week in the life of a student.
That's good stuff. That takes me back a little bit. This is Cooper Schoenberg, sportscaster.com contributor and senior journalism student at Indiana University. When we come back, Cooper and I are going to talk about, you know, what various athletes in today's world are spending their NIL money on. It's interesting. It's interesting to me. And you've already had a busy week, it sounds like, Coop, but it's only going to get busier. Your story this week, you looked at an article about what student athletes are spending their, for lack of a better term, like their allowance on. Because with NIL, and again, with the shift that now students are making, you know, money off their name, image, and likeness, we'll just use a number. So I'm just going to use a number of, let's say, $30,000 being a median average here. Obviously, some of the high-level students are making more, some of the lesser are making less. But let's just say it's a $30,000 that a typical student would get in a year. That's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty good income. For many student athletes, obviously for the majority of student athletes before this decision came down, you know, you were maybe doing some odd jobs on the side or whatever. You would try to get a paid internship or whatever it is. Today's landscape is different, that now students are actually getting money directly from the university, which has shifted how we view the student athlete. What was the article you're working off of as you explored your commentary this week about that topic?
You know, it was a great article by The Athletic, and it just really dove into specific players and what they choose to spend their NIL money on. And it really caught me by surprise. There was a lot of variety of what they were choosing. Obviously, you had your leisure activities, you had your fancy material items. But I really liked seeing, I forget the exact player, but someone chose to spend their money paying off their parents' debt and mortgage for their house. I loved the giving back aspect of it. And a lot of others, shout out to the number one wide receiver in all of college football, Indiana's very own Elijah Surratt. Him and a couple other players chose to spend their money on cars. I believe it was of the Dodge variety. And then what I have to tip my cap to, because I know I would be doing the same, is Georgia quarterback Gunnar Stockton. How can you not, in such a beautiful state, choosing to spend the majority of his money on things like, your and mine favorite, golf?
Yeah.
Going to the best that old Georgia has to offer, you know, buying some new clubs, playing the finest tracks there in the off season. But I think that was kind of a credit to what I just said about my day-to-day life, is there has to be give and take, and especially with these athletes who are working tirelessly, putting their bodies on the line and doing all that they can to perform for their team and really for themselves to be able to get said NIL money. And that is where the give and take comes in, is where you're going very hard 6 days a week, practicing and training in football for that SEC matchup, like Gunnar Stockton is, as the head quarterback for a major, major team. That one day that he has off, he wants to spend it doing what he does, and that's going down, playing a quick 18 to the buddies, taking a deep breath, smelling some fresh Georgia air, and just enjoying yourself. So that was what I loved most about reading that article.
Yeah, it's good, man. And I think it's interesting because, you know, I think of where I am in life right now, and if I was able to have an allowance or a salary or whatever it would be, and what I would choose to spend it on today would be different from what I would choose to spend my money on when I was, you know, a younger man. So it is interesting because for some of these students, this may be the end of the road when you say, okay, I'm done after college. I mean, some of these guys aren't going to go on to the pros. And so to be able to monetize off your athletic ability in college, you say, okay, here's how much I have coming in. Are you investing it? Are you enjoying life as a college student? You say, hey, you deserve to, yeah, go play golf or go get a car, go get, you know, pay off the house. It's fascinating to me because I just think, I don't know what I would have done, to be honest with you. I would like to think that would have been somewhat responsible. You know, I'd like to think that I would have been, but it'll be interesting as the years go on here and, you know, as the coffers continue to get stuffed, of how it's going to impact the student athlete experience, you know, for a lot of people. Okay, so if it were you, just hypothetical before we get into your story. Hypothetical, let's say you've got $30,000 I'm giving you this year. So we're going to spread it out over 12 months. Can't play golf 12 months a year, not even in the great state of Indiana or the great state of Michigan. Are you saving any? Or are you saying, you know what? Hey, this is my time to shine here. My senior year, I got $30,000 Here's what I'm doing.
All right, let's be responsible. Okay. This is a PG program. let's take that 30K. Now let's split it in half. All right. 15K, you're going away. You're going into the bank. You're going investments. Boom. I'm working smart right now. Now, this other 15K, I want to devote about 10K of that to my family for all that I've put them through, to all the money I've spent on my mommy's card. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and give back a little, and that's going to make me feel a lot better, a little weight off my shoulders. Now I got 5K, and that's a lot of fire to be playing with. It is my senior year. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. Not to sound like a broken record, but shout out to Pfau Golf Course here at Indiana University. I believe it was ranked the number one college golf course in the entire nation. So that track is going to be played a lot and paid with my NIL money and for a lot of my friends. So I'll bring three others. We get a nice little 2v2 scramble going. That's the fun part. Now, again, right on Kirkwood. Have some fun at these newfound bars. Going to be responsible, but definitely going to enjoy ourselves. And if I got, you know, after all that, let's call it 2,000 lying around, we're going to get the drip up. And somehow, some way, I'm going to go on Facebook Marketplace and I'm just going to get myself a Doom Buggy. And you're going to be catching me riding around in Bloomington on my Doom Buggy. Everybody's going to hear me from down the block, down the street. There Schoenberg goes again. Okay. So what the moral of the story is being responsible with half of it, paying off the rest to family. Okay. I'm a good guy. But treat ourselves. This is hard work money. And what I want to spend it on, I should be able to spend it on just like these athletes. So we're going to have some fun with it. That's what I would do with my 30K. I'd be very surprised to see what you would do with 30K. Because I know you got after it down in Athens way back when. I know you.
We just don't have enough time on this program. Or else I would love to share it with you. But I do like your take on that. And we're all going to listen to Cooper Schoenberg's commentary. Working off a Scott Docterman article from The Athletic about what various athletes in today's world are spending their name, image, and likeness money on. Have a listen.
What's going on? Cooper Schoenberg here with Sportscaster Media, and I was given the opportunity to cover an amazing article written by The Athletic by Scott Docterman, and it talked about something unique, something I really haven't read up on. Obviously, in this current landscape of NIL, we hear about how much players are getting paid, who they're getting paid by, why they're getting paid, but I don't hear a ton about what they are spending that money they are being paid with on. And so this was a phenomenal article I read in The Athletic, and it talked about various players from various colleges and what they choose to spend their money on. Now, there was someone in particular, Jalen Husky. First off, great name. Defensive back for Maryland, and he chose to spend his money to pay off his apartment, to pay for his sister's college tuition, and then he bought himself a used car. Now, that's doing something for himself, for his family, and maybe a little pat on the back because it read in the article that he won his family's Brother of the Year. Now, that's got to feel good. But that also makes me think there's so many times where you think athletes are going over the top buying expensive jewelry and cars and even houses in this day and age. But of course, there are the guys that are doing it not only for themselves, but for their family and friends. And that was really unique. Now, I did a little more digging, and of course, there's a couple more material purchases. You know, there's always going to be those blinged out, iced out jewelry, expensive, and of course, the wheels. I'm talking my very own Indiana University wide receiver, unbiasedly best wide receiver in the country, Elijah Surratt, along with Wake Forest running back, Demond. First off, great name, Demond Demond. Clay Bourne and Miami defensive lineman Hakeem Mezidor, and they all bought themselves Dodge Chargers. Now, whether it's getting the new wheels for yourselves to look good driving into the stadium on game day, getting that iced out to smile, look pretty for the cameras walking into the stadium or arena, these players are spending it on various things. What I really found interesting most of all, because of course I thought to myself, sure, they'd be spending some money on their cars, on their clothes, on their jewelries, and of course on their families and friends, but really on the hobbies. Now, obviously the Georgia Bulldogs have been the top dogs
for as long as I can remember, along with Alabama and other powerhouses in college football. But the starting quarterback, Gunnar Stockton, a beast, in my opinion, spends it on something I know. You know, of course, I'm 5'9". I don't got the talents to be a college player. But if I had that ability to rise up the ranks, get some of my own NIL money, I would be spending it on exactly what he spent it on, and that is golf. I thought that was very interesting. And he's down Athens, Georgia, Georgia Bulldogs, beautiful landscape, beautiful architecture, same state that hosts the great Masters in Augusta National. So what he talked about was spending it on, you know, maybe he'd be saving a little bit more money playing at some of the cheaper public courses. And hey, that's all me, nothing wrong with that. But now that he's come into this, you know, newfound NIL money with his brand sponsorships and deals and this and that, he talked about getting fitted for a new set of clubs, which I know I personally need, and is going to beautiful courses all around the Georgia state. And it's kind of one of those things where they're using it almost to better themselves. Of course, it's nice to have the fun things, and I sound like a broken record, like a really nice Dodge Hellcat, like some new jewelry. And of course, the Hellcat talked about earlier with Elijah Surratt, or that was the Charger. But then ASU's star wide receiver, Jordan Dyson, spending it on a Hellcat. So there's all those nice things. But we talk about bettering themselves, and maybe they're stressed out on the week with the football game, got to blow off some steam. Why not go play 18 holes? Bring a couple of your buddies. Don't even need to be on the football team, because that's kind of the luxury you have now with this NIL. So recapping the article, I really thought that it was super fun and unique to see how these players and why they are spending their money on the things that they are, whether it's for fun or whether it's to better themselves, talking a lot about a home improvements, you know, getting a sauna to sweat out all the toxins before game day, stuff like that. But it was very fun to see. It was a great read. I highly recommend and suggest that anybody listening goes out and reads it. But that's it for me. This is Cooper Schoenberg on sportscaster.com. Give myself and my co-host Carter Lutz a follow on our own personal channels. And of course, on Cooper and Carter Live on Uncut. But once again, Scott Docterman, the man, great article, great read. Hope you enjoyed.
You're listening to Cooper Schoenberg, sportscaster.com contributor and senior at Indiana University. Always good to have him on the program. Always good energy and great insight into what modern day student athletes are spending their NIL money on. We've talked a lot about the NIL and how that impacts, obviously, the student athlete. And the majority of the discussion when you talk nationwide is really about how it impacts the college student athlete. But really, the ripple effect goes down to high school athletes and basically how they're thinking about their recruiting process, what they've got to do to get ready, what's available to them, things that maybe weren't top of mind when you were a high school athlete, even when I was in high school, because, you know, the terms were different. You got discovered or you didn't. You went to a regional school or you didn't. And you had opportunities that maybe didn't exist as widely as they do now because of, obviously, the shift in college athletics. And I would venture to guess that the majority of us listening played sports on some level, whether it be rec sports or high school sports or, you know, college athletics. So there's an understanding of what it takes to be a high school athlete and what it would look like to compete at a collegiate level. Ethan Pavey is a sophomore at Groves High School in Beverly Hills, Michigan. And he talked to his high school AD, Ross Gauthier, about what that process looks like for high school student athletes. And it's fascinating to me because, again, depending on the size of school that you may have gone to, you know, you didn't really know what was possible unless you were a top line or a top flight athlete. You know, I think for a lot of people that have a dream, you say, and especially when you're younger, you say, well, man, I would really love to play at the college level, but how do you get there? I mean, what is that process like? How do you get discovered? All that stuff that goes into it. But fascinating how when you look at how recruiting has shifted and what that does for athletes that want to move on to the next level. So very interesting interview here with Ethan Pavey. Again, he's part of our sportscaster.com program. He goes to Groves High School. And for him to have an opportunity to talk with the AD there, Ross Gauthier, about, you know, what that looks like for high school student athletes. I think you enjoy this. Have a listen.
Today, we are talking about something every high school athlete wonders about: getting to play at the next level and how high school recruiting works. Joining me is our very own athletic director, Ross Gauthier, who is the athletic director at Groves High School near Detroit. Mr. G is in a position to help student athletes navigate this process. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Ethan.
Let's start with the basics. So for student athletes who aren't really sure what to expect about recruiting, can you explain a little bit about the college recruitment process and what it looks like?
Yeah, so it kind of depends on what level they are. I'm sure you've seen a lot, especially with the NCAA tournament with men's basketball. You're hearing a lot about the transfer portal and who's going where. And I think it's probably a tougher landscape today for our high school athletes to go on to play to college than it's ever been, just because of a lot of colleges at the topper levels recruiting mostly other college players. So that makes it difficult. The big thing is we play in the OAA, one of the top conferences in the state. We have a very good platform for our student athletes here. So when our teams do well, you know, the individual success usually follows the team success, depending on the sport. If you're playing travel, getting out in front of coaches, doing that. And then the other thing is it's networking, whether it's you and your parents and your coach, sometimes even myself, working together, identifying what colleges you're interested in. What level do you think you want to play at and can play at? What college has your program, your degree? And then looking at those things of like what college is going to make you the best version of yourself you can be. Once you kind of have like a decent idea of what you're looking for, once you kind of narrow down that process, that's usually a big thing. And just trying to get meetings, whether it's open gyms, open workouts, unofficial visits, trying to get those things going.
That was really helpful. Thank you. And so when do you think these student athletes should really start thinking about their recruitment? And what do you think that timeline should look like?
You know, it's never really too late. Obviously, the earlier the better. I mean, I think if you're playing high level travel sport, whether, you know, it's soccer or basketball or pick a sport, volleyball, if you're playing like high level travel, you know, those coaches are starting to identify the top of the top, you know, early on in their high school career, in that sophomore year, then you usually things really kind of pick up across like all levels, you know, that junior year, senior year, you know, the end of your junior, kind of going into your senior year is kind of a sweet spot where a lot of kids pick, you know, most kids pick up some interest and offers and roster spots.
Nice. And so you talked about like emailing coaches and getting that like first interaction. So what else besides playing well, what else can athletes do to start getting on those coaches' radar?
Well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head without saying. You said students. What can student athletes do? And the better student you are, the more opportunities you have to play at the next level. So I think being a great student is one of the most important things. College coaches, they have an eye for talent. They're going to be able to watch your film or see you play. They're going to be able to tell if you can play or not. So really, like when they talk to athletic directors or they talk to like coaches, they're like, what kind of teammate is he? How is he in the classroom? What are his grades? What are his parents like? So first part is being a student first and an athlete second opens up a lot more doors. Just getting your name out there, attending, you know, exposure camps. Like if you really want to go to a certain college or university, look and see. They all have some type of summer camp, you know, or off-season camp that is open. You got to pay, but, you know, it's an opportunity to be in front of their coaches and then get a chance to see you. So I think that's another good way to do that. You got to be a student first, because if you don't have the grades, you're not going to be able to play. So that student-athlete piece, even in today's NIL world, is still very important.
I play a couple sports. I play basketball and baseball. And while I'm playing and during practice, after practice, I see my teammates editing these videos of like all their highlights. Do those actually help get college interest, or are they just whatever?
Well, one, you know, you say whatever. Are they fun? Yeah, you know, it's fun. Post it on TikTok or whatever. And, you know, and kids, I'd say the last 10 years or so are spoiled with the different apps and platforms that are out there where you can coach uploads all your games and you can edit all your games to make your own highlight, which is really cool. But I think having those highlight tapes, you get a link, you can send them out to coaches. Coach likes what he sees. He might say, hey, will you send me a full game? You know, or he might say, hey, thanks, appreciate it. You know, you never know. Every coach is looking for something a little different. I think it helps doing those highlight tapes. And worst case scenario, they're a good keepsake, you know, to show your family when you're older. You know what I mean? So, but I do think they help. I have helped our student athletes occasionally send those out to coaches, and I've sent them on behalf. So I definitely think they help. It's a good starter piece, you know, to put out on social media and reach out to coaches for sure.
You've been dealing with the recruitment process a lot with a bunch of our student athletes here at Groves. So what are the common mistakes or myths that you come across throughout this recruiting process that some people believe to be true?
That's a great question. I don't want to say probably the biggest myth, you know, is just like, you know, like, is I just got to be seen, you know, like I need it. Like if you're good enough, they'll find you. You know, if you put you're putting your stuff out there, if you're emailing coaches, there's things you can do. You know, I don't care what school you go to, high school. If you're good enough, they're going to find you. That's probably like the biggest myth. Like, I got to go to X school so I can get recruited to play. I've worked at small schools with 400 kids and seen kids go Big Ten. You know, so if you're good enough, they're going to find you. That's probably the biggest myth. As far as mistakes, I mean, I would just say keep your options open, especially early in the process. You don't want to be telling people no because you're not sure how it's going to play out. So that's probably the biggest thing is keep your options open. If you have interest from schools, I would just hesitate from telling people like, you know, no right away. You know, that'd probably be the biggest thing.
Do you have a favorite story of a student who has made it to the next level that you can share?
That is a great question. Probably my favorite story that I've had throughout my career is just going and seeing them play at the college level. And I had a young lady who plays soccer at Michigan State. Going out to East Lansing and watching her play women's soccer at the Big Ten level for one of the top teams in the country. I mean, it's just incredible because she's just an incredible person and seeing all her hard work pay off. You know, like it's just amazing to see kids strive for something and achieve their goals and compete at one of the highest levels. It's cool and I enjoy it.
A lot of these student athletes think that if their team goes further in the playoffs, they get seen more. What would you tell a student athlete that didn't go far in the playoffs but still wants to go to a D1, D2 school?
I definitely, you know, there's a little bit of truth in that, you know, just from the standpoint of like the higher stake of the game, the more eyes that are on you. But like in today's world, every game's videotaped. You can log on to any network and, you know, the NFHS network and watch games. So I don't think it matters as much as it used to. Like if you're good enough, they're going to find you. Is it cool to play in, you know, those big games and big environments? Absolutely. But, you know, I think regardless if you have the skill and the talent and you're what they're looking for, there's enough avenues now in today's world, they're going to find you.
Thank you so much for sharing your time and advice with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking me and looking forward to seeing you in the hallway and on the baseball diamond here soon.
Thank you.
So very good from Ethan Pavey. He is a hopeful broadcast journalism student when he gets to college, still a sophomore there at Groves High School. And we appreciate Ross Gothier, the AD there at Groves, for taking the time to kind of let us know, give us a glimpse of what it's like, what his role is like as we all try to steer the next wave of talent, whether they be athletes or broadcasters, on to the next level. This is our final segment, and we carve out some time to lay out what you need to know about this week's game of the week. It is season 2 of Drive to the Game, week 3 already of the high school football season. WJR and sportscaster.com have partnered to bring you a marquee matchup every Friday night throughout the high school football season. This week, Southfield A&T at Stony Creek. Here for a preview is Sportscaster's Giovanni Mosheri.
I'm Giovanni Mosheri, your host of Drive to the Game Season 2, and we're already at Week 3. This week, setting us up at Rochester Hills Stony Creek as the Cougars take on the Southfield A&T Warriors for OAA White action. It's conference play now, and you can tune into the game Friday night. Pre-game starts at 6:50 exclusively on YouTube and on sportscaster.com before we kick things off to Chris Renwick on the play-by-play along with our student broadcasters on the WJR feed of it. From there, we'll be on both feeds, so you can find whichever way fits you best to enjoy Drive to the Game. And it's going to be a great one for this as we open up conference play in the Oakland Activities Association White Division with two teams that are on kind of a similar timeline, both under the second year of recently hired head coaches. We'll break them down right here on the preview. And we'll start things off with the visiting Southfield A&T Warriors. 2 years ago, they were the state champions as they defeated Belleville, preventing a three-peat in the state championship and left Bryce Underwood with only two state championships, Wah. Anyway, but from there, after that state championship in November of 2023, head coach Aaron Marshall of the Warriors left to take the job at Brother Rice, leaving the opportunity for new head coach Keith McKenzie, who comes into this job not only with coaching experience beyond his playing days, but going into those playing days, we're talking about a Super Bowl champion here. A seventh round pick to the Green Bay Packers got himself a ring in their 1996 championship. He also is a Hall of Famer, class of 2006 at Saginaw Valley State University, where he holds the sack record. So he comes into this one with a whole lot of experience, but unfortunately, in his first season as the Warriors head coach, it did not go very well. A 2-7 overall record and an 0-4 record in conference. Put simply, McKenzie said that his team was terrible and knew that there were many improvements still to be made. However, through all that struggle the first year, 13 returning starters this season with that experience, with that bad taste in their mouth, going to be important for the rest of the squad. For those who are newcomers from either freshman or JV, you know, these returning starters got to know, like, they don't want to have a season like that again, and it leaves a ton of room for improvement. But unfortunately, at the start of this season, we're into week three, their two previous games did not get them over the hump like they would like. However, they were against really tough teams. Week one, they would host East Kentwood, who has one of the best quarterbacks in the state of Michigan, and the Warriors would lose this one 43-8. Now, East Kentwood, according to the D Zone, is where I'm going to be getting some of my rankings here. East Kent was the number 9 team in the state. I mean, that's no slouch, and you get a lot to learn out of that. You get to know your team very well after a game like that. And in week two, they would get a similar experience against West Bloomfield on the road, where they would suffer a shutout 37-0 loss. And West Bloomfield, according to the D-Zone, the number 29 team in the state. So they've been cutting their teeth on some really, really tough competition, trying to see what his team is made of. And that's going to set up a great matchup for the Cougars in OAA white play. Coaches like McKenzie, they want the tough schedule. They want to know what they're about to get them ready and prepared for that very important conference part of the season that will begin with the Cougars coming, with the Cougars hosting the Warriors. And now we'll shift things over to the Stony Creek Cougars under the second year of head coach Rick Powell, who has plenty of deep roots in the area, in the conference. It's in his blood. His father has been a head coach for many, many years, and you know, it's been part of his life ever since the beginning. Rick Powell's career began at Warren Cusno, where he was a starting quarterback for 4 years, where they would reach the playoffs every single one of those years, a state final in his junior year, and an undefeated regular season in his senior year. 5,000 total yards and 50 touchdowns puts him in high company when it comes to those who have played in high school. So he's been there and done that. Most recently, he comes from a 5-year stint at the defensive coordinator spot for the Lake Orion Dragons, now the head coach of the Stony Creek Cougars. So for last year, in his first year, 5-5 and 2-2, a 500 record to start things out. Not too bad for the first year. They got 12 starters coming back as well, so pretty much even with the Warriors in terms of returning talent. And they also come into this one with a little bit of momentum, winning 4 of their last 5 in the last season before they ran into Rochester Adams in the playoffs, who we saw last week. And we know that that's no slouch of a team as they made their way to the state semifinals. And taking a look at some of their first two games this season. Oh, and by the way, when I mentioned the 12 starters coming back, also worth noting, 24 seniors are on this Cougar team. So you want to talk about a veteran presence, the Cougars definitely got it. And now to get into the start of their season, 2-0 is how they begin, with some big wins against some tough teams. Against Coach Powell's alma mater, Warren Cusno, they hosted them and defeated them 42-28. And a barn burner to start the regular season. And then in week two, they would go on the road in the OAA white against his also, you know, his previous place of employment at Lake Orion, they would defeat the Dragons 29-20. And now we saw in the first week when we were at the Amazon Prep Kickoff Classic, Lake Orion, a very good team too. It was a nail biter in their loss to Northville, but still, that is a formidable team. And they were 38th in the state, according to D-Zone at the time. And after that loss, they dropped down pretty far. So a sizable win for the Cougars to bring them 2-0 coming into this matchup against the Warriors. And it's going to be a ton of fun. I hope you guys are able to tune in. Remember, the pregame show starts on YouTube and sportscaster.com at 6:50 before we kick things off to WJR at 7 o'clock for the kickoff. And then we'll be with you both ways all the way. It's going to be a lot of fun. Be sure to subscribe, follow us on Instagram, and be sure to stay tuned to all things Michigan high school football because we got it here on Drive to the Game. We'll see you there at Stony Creek.
That's going to do it for this week here on Open Mic. Want to thank you all for tuning in. Hope to see you back here Friday night for Drive to the Game, Southfield A&T against Stony Creek. That's coming up on Friday. For the rest of you, you can always find us right here on WJR every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 o'clock. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. And we look forward to seeing you next time around. I'm your host here on Open Mic, Johnny Kane. Until next time. Godspeed.